In this session, David shares his insights on the positioning of the ego and its world, and places it in the context of the spiritual will. He shares examples of where the ego world of control and fear take us, and how a commitment to surrender into the spiritual will can better serve our higher interests. To begin this session, David discusses how he responds to the skeptic.
Actually, I don't try to respond to the skeptic. The skeptic is not far enough along the path to take seriously. The skeptic has to grow out of it, and it may be many a lifetime before he gives up the arrogance, because skepticism is narcissistic arrogance. So this delusional, inflated idea of the worth of one's own thinkingness, you know, which is very sophomoric. Most people grow out of being sophomoric. A skeptic is the one who makes a life staying sophomoric and never becoming a junior or a senior. So I don't try to convince anybody. You'll see the polemics that go on in all kinds of fields of science. And they're trying to convince somebody about the truth of something. I don't see the point of that. I have no interest in convincing anybody about anything. I tell them, if you do this, this will happen. If you do that, that'll happen. And now it's up to them. And I'm not responsible for them. So each one is free to have their own choice. The personal will is trying to accomplish something, has a very specific goal. It usually has to do with gain or dominance or control in some way. The spiritual will is more in the field of surrender. Now, the personal will is only as strong as one's level of consciousness. So sometimes people will want to accomplish something by personal will, and that would require much more power than the personal will. So if, let's say, you live at consciousness level 190, and now through personal will, you're going to try to overcome a certain thing. But you don't have enough power at consciousness level 190. When you get up to consciousness level, let's say 500, now you would have the power to overcome it, but you haven't got enough horsepower in the engine to do it at that level. Therefore, to align yourself with a more powerful field is what people do. Let's take people coming off addiction. Well, the addiction may take you all the way down to consciousness 90. All right, to surrender to God's will is something that you don't have the strength to do yourself. So let's say somebody takes you to an AA meeting. Well, AA calibrates at 540. Wow. All right, at the consciousness level of 540, somebody says you could let go of that if you wanted to, and suddenly it dawns on you, that's true. It isn't could you, it's would you. So when people have trouble making spiritual decisions, I tell them, here's what you do. The person says, I can't possibly forgive my ex-brother-in-law for what he did to me. And I'd say, now, if I have a 45 loaded next to your temple, and if you don't forgive him, I'm going to blow your brains out. Could you forgive him? Oh, yes, I could. So I said, well, that clearly differentiates then could from would. And mostly what people think could is just that they wouldn't. They're unwilling to do it. If you're willing to forgive anybody, you can forgive anybody for anything. So it's the will. So surrendering the will to God, you see, divine will calibrates extremely high, about 850. Your personal will, your 190, is something different. So when you surrender your will to God, now you can accomplish the miraculous. You can accomplish the miraculous. It isn't you that accomplishes it. You've surrendered the small self to the large self. The large self counts on the will of God to accomplish its goals, and therefore is capable of performing the miraculous. And when you get to a certain level of consciousness, the miraculous becomes continuous. What the people think are miraculous is just naivete. Well, when you get to a certain level, around 570, 580, around in there, the miraculous becomes ordinary. You hold the thing in mind, it manifests, and you don't go, oh, isn't that amazing? That's the way it all happens. It all unfolds based on how it's being held in mind. And it's because of the power of the self with a capital S can accomplish what the small self cannot do, even though its life depends on it. People, you know, try, and they actually die in the attempt. They do not have the power. Because force results in counterforce. And surrender pulls in a powerful context. So when you say, God, I am myself and unable to do a certain thing, and I ask you if it is your will that it be accomplished, and then you surrender it. At that point, you surrender it. You don't keep insisting that God do it or not do it. Or at that point, you relinquish the personal will. And that which you thought was going to be impossible now comes about in the most miraculous and unbelievable way, you see. And if you put a string of what you know, experience as the miraculous together, a skeptic would have a hard time trying to figure out how best to answer such a number of phenomena. And when the phase of the cities, S-I-D-D-H-I-S, appears, the miraculous is numberless and almost continuous. And one would wonder how to explain this from the viewpoint of sort of pedestrian logic and simplicity of scientific thinking. How is it that in the entire parking paradox of New York City, could you pull up right in front of the Opera House and the one single parking space suddenly opens up just as you drive up? Well, that's the way it was for years. What's the probability of that? Probably nothing. That was followed by something else in which the probability. So you're followed one phenomenon after another in which the statistical probability is nil. And when you put them together, the nil plus nil plus nil plus nil, you say, how do you explain this phenomena? How do you explain this phenomena? Not know where you're going, drive in a strange town and drive up right exactly to the place you wanted to go because all you did is hold it in mind. I used to do that all the time. Just held in mind in Florida or all around lakes that I didn't know one lake from another and it was dark besides. Hold in mind what I want to go and I automatically drive exactly to the front of where I wanted to go with no map and no knowledge of the territory. So that's just one example. But those things are continuous. There's a phase where it goes on for years. The unfolding of everything is continuous. You need a pair of pliers, so you look over out the window of the truck, and there not only is the pliers laying there by the road, but they're a brand new pair of pliers. No, you're lying there within arm's reach, but brand new. And you don't even say, wow, anymore, because this is the way life has become. So if you think I'm hungry, around the next turn, there's a hamburger joint. There you are. Life just becomes one hamburger joint after another.